We are cruising towards episode 100, and it would be just so darn awesome to reach 10,000 views on YouTube by that time. We have close to 14,500 combined on other platforms, which means we're nearing 25,000 overall. Thank you to every single one of you who listens and spreads the word. Keep liking, subscribing, and sharing. I will have some other news coming soon. Now, speaking of YouTube, the episode cover images that I've scoured the internet for and chosen for each and every episode finally started appearing on YouTube about 3 months ago. Now, for the last 3 weeks, it returned to what is my standard YouTube image backdrop. Well, that should be corrected once again this week, but I won't know until it uploads. If I say so myself, you've missed some good ones, YouTube. But I do have them archived. Norm Nathan Vault of Silliness collector cards? Well, the Vault of Silliness has offered up a dumb birthday game from July 16th, 1994, aptly titled My Desperate Plea for Love. Daryl Gould joins Norm and I in the studio with some pregame chatter. A stealthy Norm begins the conversation. He asked me a question about my weekend away at Hampton Beach, New Hampshire, where at a club called the Electric Wave, I saw a beautiful young lass whom I was smitten with. It's quite the pathetic tale of squandered chances and lost love.
Way to sell it, Dad!
Amy was the name of the girl I was taken with. I was weak in the knees and couldn't get up the nerve to talk to her. I did, however, get some details from her friend Lori. Guess I had no problem talking to her. Finally, at the end of the night, I got up the testicular fortitude, and I said to her that I thought she was incredibly beautiful. I won't give you any further details, but let's just say that the slobbering, plaintive, tear-soaked plea continues until it sickens us all. I mean, I was already emotional from hearing the old Shep song. Daryl is very funny, while Uncle Norm suggests that I hire a PI. Thankfully, Norm goes to a commercial, and we only get to briefly hear John Wall from Wall's Lincoln Mercury before it fades out. Okay, it's game time. Our players, the breathy Arlene from Philadelphia, Rick in State College, Pennsylvania, Betty from South Portland, Maine, the stuffy but still adorable Kristen from Dorchester. I'm on the phone, Emilio Marotta producing and playing in studio and spending his penultimate night with us as he is heading off to San Diego, California, where, by the way, I believe he still resides. He describes a temporary job he's lined up in Tijuana, where he predicts his Lawrence Welk medley will be a big hit. Jack Hart in traffic, whose insincere greeting prompts Norm to do an impression of his uncle. Not Jack's uncle, Norm's uncle. Wet, stubby cigar hanging from his lips. Hey, Norman, how are ya? The birthdays. Bess Meyerson, former Miss America, former New York City official, former shoplifter. Now, next could possibly be the longest time spent on a single birthday. With his grandson, they were two of the biggest geeks, dweebs, dorks, and nerds on TV. Ladies and gents, Orville Redenbacher. The impressions, the jokes, the puns, the losing of one's mind in the moaning and groaning throat is fantastic. Ginger Rogers, who won an Oscar for Kitty Foyle. Oh yes, the foolishness carries on with this one. Then we have the very sharp Reuben Blades, or Blades, as Norm reads it. Before we skip to Monday the 18th, here's quite the list of leftovers that remained on the birthday cake plate. Desmond Decker, pioneer of reggae music. That would be reggae to you and I. Rain Pryor, Barnard Hughes, Jim Rathman, Barry Sanders, Dick Thornburg, Margaret Court, Stuart Copeland, and Pincus Zuckerman. Oh, Barbara Stanwyck, Mary Baker Eddy, and Theodore Vale were also born on the 17th, but they were dead. Monday the 18th, we have Red Skelton. More jokes, puns, and impressions. Harriet Nelson. Norm is very bitter towards the Nelson family and their various bands. However, there are many spirited answers. We end quickly as news is fast approaching. There are so many other highlights. Norm declares he may resign from shtick. Egotistical hosts who are afraid to say that there are open lines, but not Norm. He has no qualms about begging. Norm's Bob Raleigh impression. Kristen's chafed and sore, stuffy nose that was an adorable shade of red that matched nicely with her teary, swollen eyes. You'll be treated to hearing my gears turning as I figure out the ages. Norm is impressed. Emilio is frightened to death of Norm. There's an inadvertent quote from Norm's Hungarian gypsy princess grandmother that leads us to another and yet one more. Norm is working on a compilation of these phrases and reveals that Simon & Schuster will be publishing a 5-volume set of them, using a quilted pen for the winter. There's some bonus birthday info that is let loose. Jack's mom's birthday was July 16th. His brother was going to be on the 17th. Arlene was on Monday. Mine was back in February. Norm was coming up in December. Whilst I chomp on my cigar, I rather rudely ask how old Jack's mom is. One of our players, Betty, throughout the game, gives us some wonderful phrases to crochet on our doilies. I have a letter from Kristen. Julia Roberts contacts Norm a lot. J. Edgar Hoover did not enjoy chiffon. He was more of a silk man. Uh-oh. There were men outside the studio with dark sunglasses because of what Norm said about Hoover. Norm, steadfast, stood strong and asked, "Are they wearing dresses?" I opened the studio door crack and said, "No, but they were wearing a nice pair of pumps." Being so mad, you could spit. My cat makes his voice heard, and wandering up and down dark alleys yelling out our bits. Episode 95, My Desperate Plea for Love, starts now.
I understand. Get the lead in on this.
Oh, man.
Daryl, this is really nice. I understand that you were out at Hampton Beach the other night. That's quite a nice area up through there.
Yes, I was. It was last weekend.
Last weekend?
Yeah. Did you miss me on the birthday game?
I did miss you on the birthday game. We were talking about that. As a matter of fact, we're saying, where's Tony?
Yeah, out cruising for babes.
Are you looking for babes up there in Hampton Beach, New Hampshire?
Yeah. Did you find any?
Well, funny you should say that, Daryl.
No, actually, what is it I'm doing wrong?
Actually, being up there on Saturday night, some friends here from BZ were all up there. We were staying over. We went to a club called the Electric Wave. Okay? You got that now?
Electric Wave.
Electric Wave, okay. Uh-huh. And it was sometime between 9:30 and to about 12:15.
You sound like you're doing a Dragnet documentary.
Excuse me.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Jeez, sorry.
Anyway, I see this girl up there. And I'm just smitten, completely taken by her. And for the entire night, I do not say one word to her because I'm weak in the knees. I can't, you know, the butterfly, I'm like, oh, wow, she was just so adorable. It's beyond words, and which I was that night because I couldn't say anything to her. Now.
Isn't this sickening, Daryl?
Now, listen, this is my desperate plea for love, okay? No.
I'm going to sit a little further away from him, if that's okay.
I'm starting to sweat. Well,
Daryl,
I need your help, Uncle Norm.
Okay, we're breaking out into a cold rash just listening to this wonderful story.
I need your help.
Okay.
I've got a couple of names. The state I believe she lives in. That's a lot of help. I don't have a town name, but
she lives in New Hampshire.
I believe so because her friend name was Laurie. So we can narrow it down to that point.
Uh-huh.
Her name was Amy.
But you don't have her last name.
No, I do not.
Uh-huh.
And Laurie, her friend, was from New Hampshire. So I'll just assume that so was Amy. Mm. Okay, and probably pretty close by the Hampton area because no one drives down from, like, Center Stratford or something to go to Hampton Beach. Okay.
Nobody drives up from Boston to go to Hampton Beach either. I just made that up. That's probably not true because you were there.
That's right.
Okay.
Okay, so we're at the Electric Wave between 9:30 and 12:15. Her name is Amy. Her friend's name was Laurie. She was sitting near the pool table. She was wearing a light blue denim short outfit type thing. Blonde hair, pulled back in a ponytail. I can almost tell you everything except her last name. And at the end of the night, though, before she left, she's leaving. I said, that's it. I got up enough testicular fortitude to go up to her and say this now. Get this. I said, before you leave here tonight, I just have to tell you, I think you're incredibly beautiful. And you know what she said? Thank you.
Oh, she didn't say, I think so, too.
Yeah, no, which is a good sign, because she could have said that. Yeah. She could have been really snotty.
What I'm waiting to hear, of course, is what kind of advice you're seeking.
I'm not seeking. What I'm seeking is I'm hoping either her friends listen to you, family.
He's trying to trace her down.
I'm trying to track her down.
Have you ever thought of a private detective agency?
I may do that because I can't get this girl out of my mind. She's tattooed on my brain, and I need help, Norm. And I need your help, Uncle Norm.
Now, wait a minute. Maybe we can describe her better here. Now, what kind of tattoos did she have?
And how fat was her upper thigh?
Oh, come on. Come on.
No.
Anyway. Laurie, call now. He's desperate.
No, Amy. Well, Laurie can call too with Amy's number or something.
Amy or Laurie, call now. He's desperate. Okay. Amy or Laurie, he loves only you.
Okay. I'm in so much trouble now. Okay, so that's what I'm asking. If someone knows Amy, who was at Hampton Beach at the Electric Wave last week, I'm sorry, Emilio. Maybe you'll get flooded with calls. Maybe you won't get any, and that'll be really sad for me to find out. But just call, and can you leave your number or some way to get in touch with you?
I think you've made enough of a plea.
Thank you.
Now you're starting to cry. Tears are rolling down your cheeks.
I'm still affected by the old Shep song, for crying out loud. Give me a break, will you?
Okay. I think we'll all take a break.
Hi,
right
John
here.
John Wall here from Wall's Lincoln Mercury, reminding you.
That's what we're going to be doing right this very, very moment. And what a wondrous panel we have to play the dumb birthday game with us, including Arlene, our friend Arlene in Philadelphia. Hello again, Arlene.
Hi, Norm.
Hello, Arlene. Nice to talk to you again.
Oh, it's so nice to talk to you again, too.
You want
to
talk dirty?
Oh.
Sorry, that's
and
so...
And Norm, in case he's listening, I want to say hi to Bob.
Bob who?
Bob from New Brighton, Pennsylvania.
Oh, Bob from New Brighton, Pennsylvania.
He's in Virginia tonight. Well, actually, this weekend.
Is this anybody we talked to on there, or is this a friend of yours?
Yeah, you talked to him last week.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You guys were talking about me.
Oh, I
found out.
Oh, I think he was smitten with you.
Mm.
Oh, and you're smitten with him also.
Mm-hmm.
Does he live very
far? And I don't even know him yet.
Does he live very far from where you live?
Yes, he does. He does live kind of far. But as I told you before, you'll have the movie, right?
Oh, that'd be kind of nice because it sounds like warm story.
Norm,
yes.
One other quick thing I want to tell you.
Yes.
Is, do you know Amelia? When I called you before, Amelia recognized my voice.
Isn't that odd?
Right away. And it's been a few months since I talked to
you. Well, you have a very distinctive voice, and Emilio is very good at distinctive voices.
He is.
Yeah, yes, he is. Hey, we have another fellow from Pennsylvania, Rick.
How are you, Norm?
Hi, Rick. I forget. Now, you're not... No, you're in Philadelphia, Arlene?
Yeah.
And Rick is where?
I'm in State College.
Oh, State College. Well, I keep asking you the same question over and over. I'm so stupid.
We've been through this before. We were on the game together before.
Yeah, and I went through the same questions again. And...
It's just out of coincidence, because that was the only other time I played.
Yeah. How about that?
I think it's time for me to resign my position and quit the whole job and retire. I'm starting to go through my whole shtick over and over again. And
I think Rick said that. Did you say we were about 200 miles away or something?
I'd have to stop and think about it. How many miles it is? If you draw a line diagonally across the state, you're at one end of the line, and I'm in the middle.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's see who else we have. Betty, who's a little closer to, at least to Boston. She's in South Portland, Maine. Is that a separate city from Portland?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
No, Kenny. So
from
there's
the bridge.
Okay, you're it's near. Is that no Saco?
The city of South Portland.
Okay, the city of South Portland.
It's between Scarborough and Portland.
I got you.
Scarborough is just before Saco.
Oh, just before Saco, and then there's Biddeford.
Saco to Scarborough to South Portland.
Okay, I got you. Okay, have you played the game with us before?
No, I haven't.
Oh, so you must really be excited and nervous.
I sure am.
Oh, the feelings, the emotional thrust in your soul must be just...
I just hope I don't clam up.
So far, you've done okay.
Okay.
Okay. We have my friend Kristen with the Julia Roberts kind of little baby voice.
Hello, Norm.
See what I mean?
Good to you, Robert, with a cold.
Yeah, well, I hope you're feeling better. This is a tough time to get a cold. That's kind of a stupid thing to say. When is a good time to get a cold? See? We have Tony with us, too. Hi, Tony.
Hi, Norm. How are you?
Okay, I'm sorry. We haven't found Amy yet.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Well, it'll happen.
I had a couple of things.
Yeah?
I tell you, I know I haven't seen you for about a half hour. Actually, I've got to compliment you on the fact that at least you admit that you don't have any calls, that there are open lines.
I know it. Most
we
people...
have some more egotistically driven hosts who would not admit that if their life depended on it.
I won't even ask you who you're referring to, because you may be referring to a whole lot of people, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a very broad statement that covers a whole bunch
no,
of
almost
people.
No, almost nobody, almost no talk host would admit that the lines are all open. There's nothing going on. Yeah. I think Lavelle Diet sometimes admits that. He doesn't admit it quite as blatantly as I do. Like,
he doesn't sound as desperate as you do sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes I really do get desperate because I haven't, you know, I don't have a lot to say and nobody's there. But anyway, Emilio is here. Now, Emilio, this is your last weekend.
Yep, tomorrow night's my last night.
Tomorrow night. Oh, that's kind of a shame. That's Emilio. Emilio's going off to San Diego, California. Can you imagine that?
Wow. Without the earthquake.
No, Betty, that's L.A. San Diego doesn't really get affected.
Yeah, a little.
It's the coast.
Oh, well, you know, sure. I got some stock and some land in Arizona, so I'm hoping.
And also, he loves to go to Tijuana.
That's right. I bring my little...
It's within a few miles of Tijuana, San Diego, which is Tijuana, of course, is probably one of the crummiest-looking cities in the entire world.
Well, Norm, I put my sombrero on, and I wrap myself in my serape, and I get my guitar that only has two strings, and I entertain the local folk down there.
That must be such and a treat for those folks down there.
It is, especially my Lawrence Welk melody that I put together.
Now, when are you actually going down to San Diego?
Probably going to leave Tuesday or Wednesday.
Yeah, you're going to drive cross-country?
Drive it up.
By yourself?
Yes, I am.
Okay, it's a beautiful country.
He'll phone in from the road, too, and give us reports.
I will.
You can do that. That'd be good.
Huh? I'm going to sleep in my vehicle. I'm going to bring a bat with me so no mean people hurt me.
There's a knob when he's desperate.
That's right. Hey, let's go to Jack Hyde, of course, WBZ 24-Hour Traffic Network reporter.
Hi.
Is with us also. Hi, Jack.
How are you?
That sounded so insincere. I can't believe that you were. How are you? Sounded like you had a cigar in your mouth. How are you? Sounded like an uncle I have one of mine. So, Norman, how are you? Huh? How's life treating you, Norman? Huh? How is everything, Norman?
But it's got to be a real. The cigar's almost finished, just around his lips. Just
that's right.
Chewing on it.
That's
really
right.
Wet.
That's right. He's spitting out bits of it all over the table.
Yeah. All apart. Oh, it's nice.
Yeah.
Everything good, huh? Yeah, good.
That's right, yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
how's school, Marvin? Everything okay at school? I'm sorry, I've been out of school.
Sit back and open the paper and forget it.
Yeah.
Get out of my way.
I've been out of school for about 40 years now. You haven't been keeping track of me, fella. Anyway, this is...
I used to listen to this guy when he was on the air a long time ago.
Sure. Hey, you know,
friends, Norm.
I got a quick question for Emilio. What's he going to do with the bat in the car? Have it bite people in the neck if anybody attacks him?
Well, yeah. I mean, Jack, I was going to make that joke, but I figured you'd just mop up right behind me, like Tom Bernanski, and just big home run in the ninth, and just boom, there it was.
You betcha.
Hey, Norm.
You were there.
Shall I do my joke?
How do you hold a bat, Norm?
Yeah, you hold it that tenderly by the tips of its wings.
It took a while, but you got it.
I couldn't remember it. See, I'm quoting myself, and I can't remember what I've said before.
See, it's not your age, and it's true. You have one of the worst memories.
I did. I always did.
And so it is an age. So when you keep, you hear from Rick three times a night, and you'll ask, where are you again? All week long to remind him of things.
There are too many, I can tell you, young punk kids, and you're all young punk kids who are on the birthday game today. The only advantage to being older, you notice why I say older, not old, which would fit also.
More mature, Norm.
More mature. An old poop.
Old age is for sissies, you know.
Pardon me?
Old age is for sissies.
Old age is for sissies. Hold on, would you write that down? Would you, Tony? I want to crochet that on my doily.
No, see, that's for sissies. You can't embroider that on a doily. That's a little, you know.
Okay. No, that's going to be on the quiche, Norm, and then you eat it.
But one of the advantages of being older is you can always use your age as an excuse for a bad memory, which when you're 16 and you have a rotten memory, you can't do. Well, I'm only 16. I can't remember. You know, my memory's dying because I'm 16.
What if you're talking to a four-year-old?
I suppose if you're talking to a four-year-old, but then the four-year-old wouldn't know what you were talking about.
They have a mental block.
Norm, I have to tell you, I don't want to be like Milton Berle and steal jokes. I used your bat joke last week. I got a great response. Thank you.
Where did you use that? Did you do your usual stand-up at the Comedy Connection?
No, I just was down my cellar, bouncing off the wall, and I responded to myself, and it was fantastic.
You laughed yourself. That was so sweet. Okay, we were about to play the dumb birthday game.
Oh, that's what this was. Huh.
Yeah, I knew there was a reason I called you all here today. And I couldn't remember what.
Oh, we're having a summit.
That's right. We're trying to figure out what to do with Haiti. Okay, today is July 16th, as you know, Saturday morning, July 16th.
Wouldn't it be interesting if all those meetings, cabinet meetings, started off like this? What are we here for anyway? Oh, yeah, Haiti, that's right. That's what we're doing the whole thing.
Tony, I thought we were here to try and figure out what to do with all these pens.
What to do with all these pens, eh?
Yes, Norm. Yes.
Well, nothing wrong with what you just said. Nothing wrong with that, though. Okay, Bess Meyerson was born on July 16th. Bess Meyerson
former
was...
Miss America?
She was a Miss America, former New York City official, and also... Was it shoplifting? What was she? She was...
Yes, it was in a Hills department store near Allenwood, Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania?
That will help fix in your mind.
And what did she do exactly? What was she accused of doing?
She was at the prison visiting her boyfriend, and...
What?
Yeah.
And as she was on her way back to New York, she stopped at the Hills, which I can picture in my mind, and picked up a few cosmetics.
That's right. That's right. She shoplifted.
Now, what kind of history does she have for Miss America? She goes visit her boyfriend, who's some kind of murderer or something, in prison.
Yeah.
And she shoplifts.
You know, she just was a lady who went astray. She was on a quiz show in the early days of television. I can't remember the name of the show. But the host was Randy Merriman. Danny, you remember him?
Randy Merriman.
Randy Merriman.
He was very happy.
And she would, a fur coat, a mink coat was one of the prizes, and she'd always be parading out in a mink coat and stuff to show how it looked.
Yeah.
And it looked rather neat because she's an attractive lady. She still is.
So she's a thief.
She's a good-looking thief woman. Yeah. Bess Meyerson.
She does her own makeup. I'll give her that much.
I didn't know that, does she?
Well, because she steals it, I figure she must.
Oh, I see. Yeah, that's right, yeah. Who's going to use stolen makeup to put it on somebody else unless... Anyway, Arlene.
And I think she's also David Letterman's girlfriend.
David Letterman's girlfriend.
Yeah,
is there a joke
about her?
Does he talk about her a lot?
Yeah, well...
When?
He used to, but I haven't watched his show in a while.
Maybe he dumped her.
Yeah,
maybe he dumped her.
Because I watch his show, and I didn't, especially now that it's coming on WBC TV. But I didn't know that.
And that might have been about three or four years
ago. Isn't she a little old for David Letterman?
I would think so.
He still loves her anyway.
So how old do you think she is, Arlene?
I'll say 65.
Okay, what do you think, Rick, since you know that she shoplifted in your home state?
I'll say
56. 56. Okay, and Betty up.
I'm going to say 66.
Betty's going to say 66. And the very lovely and exciting and dynamic Kristen.
68.
Kristen says...
You know, she sounds even cuter stuffed up.
Yeah, even with a cold. That's right.
Is that right?
It's the cutest stuffed up nose I've ever seen. It's probably adorable shade of red, all shaped and everything. And probably hurts when you put even a tissue to it.
Only rivaled by W.C. Fields, right?
It might be, yes, but it's a lot smaller and tinier and cuter.
And her eyes are tearing up. And
oh, they're so swollen. Cute. They're so cute when they're tearing
Now, Norm,
up.
To get back to what you said earlier about Kristen, I find the best time to have a cold is when it's really...
blizzard-like conditions out, and it's white out. You can't see, and the wind's whipping everywhere, and it's nastily cold. It's like 40 below, much rather than 59.7 degrees.
It's 59.6 right now.
Oh,
get your facts right, fella. Okay. Tony, what do you think? How old is Bess Meyerson?
When was she Miss America?
Oh, I don't know.
Have that there?
No, I don't have the year. No, I don't have any dates with her at all, as you probably find the expression. Well, she was in the early days of television. That's right. She was on the early days
of
television.
And she was already Miss America before that.
She had been Miss America before that. That's correct.
Okay, hold on. I'll get a piece of paper. Whatever it is, I'll have to say that she's definitely over the hills.
Over the hills.
That was the department store she shoplifted from.
Oh, that's very good. Yeah, very good. Geez. Very good. Yeah, very nice. Oh, that's really sweet. Mm.
Sorry, we all got it except for Norm.
Early days that's of right. TV. So since she was probably about, let's see, and that was, how many years? That's 44 years ago. She was probably, oh, geez, yeah, she could be at least that.
Whatever that is.
Yeah. And that is 62.
62. Does he hear a man?
No. 63. That's what I really have down here. I'm going
to
say 63.
63. Okay. To hear a man's mind working like that and to be part of the thinking process, yeah. let us in on it.
Right.
That was really exciting.
You like that?
Yeah, really exciting.
Wait till the next one.
Emilio, what do you think?
Now, I myself was going to wonder, Norm, if, drawing upon your vast knowledge, what exactly is the early days of television?
Well, WBZ.
But can he really kiss you know what? He's trying to get info from you, Norm. Wow.
I don't say that she started when television started here in Boston, but in the early days. WBZ went on the air. It was the first television station in Boston. I'm really sucking up to the management with this one. That was 1948.
Yep.
Okay, so we're dealing with...
And we were NBC then.
All these years we've been NBC.
All these years. Now, suddenly, CBS. I mean, please. Can you imagine?
Okay, so I'm going to say 64, Norm.
64.
And, Tony,
yes?
wouldn't it be more beneficial on my part if I'm trying to squeeze information out of Norm to go, instead of going, hey, buddy, when the hell was the early days of television? Why don't you tell me? I'm going to beat the pulp out of you. Or just, you know, kind of nicely say, geez, wow. Norm, you were there. Tell me.
You have to say that because you're afraid to death of me, aren't you, huh?
I'm hiding behind this microphone.
They don't say I have a body of well-tempered steel for nothing. You can tell.
Now, ask in the nice way. That's the way to get you. Because we all know what Norm could do to you if he really wanted to.
Besides, Tony, I was always taught to respect my elders.
Shut up. Besides, you can get more honey by being nice than by using sour cream. Why does it say that?
I
don't understand that. That's right. My Hungarian gypsy princess grandmother would say,
"Show me a man.
Show me a man who is nice to people, who asks questions in a gentlemanly or a ladylike manner, who is courteous and thinks of people's opinions."
Yes.
And I'll show you a sweatband.
You've got to compile these sayings of the sage woman.
I am working on them. And,
write that down, Jack?
I'm pleased to say that Simon & Schuster is interested in publishing a 5-volume set of them.
See, well, Norm, I know you're hard at work putting them on CD-ROM because your grandmother used to write it down with her quilted pen.
And that's right.
It was such a painstaking process, and now the computer age has sped all that up.
What was that, a quilted pen for the winter?
Yes. Excuse me, a quill pen or whatever they call it. I'm sorry, Jack. Thank you for mopping up for me again.
And now here's Jack to tell you his idea of how old Bess Meyerson is.
Well, thank you, Norm. You know, we had Bess Meyerson on the early days of television when she would wear a lovely mink coat.
A quilted mink coat.
A quilted mink coat that also acted as a pen underwater.
So in the Stooges one.
Show me a pen underwater and I'll show you.
Bess Meyerson in a mink coat.
Bess Meyerson, yes. And Randy Merriman's pimples.
Mm-hmm. My mother's birthday is today.
Your mother's birthday is today?
Mm-hmm.
Really, July 16th?
July 16th, and my brother's tomorrow.
And your brother's is July 17th.
You betcha.
Notice the way I caught on to that very quickly.
Uh-huh. Now, is that... Can't get one by you, Norm.
Yeah.
Well, my birthday was on Monday.
Huh. Hey, happy birthday to everyone. Let's make this the birthday. Happy birthday.
My birthday was back in February. I guess that doesn't apply.
Yeah. My birthday is next December. Okay, how old is Bess Meyerson on your mother's birthday?
Oh, 67.
67.
How old is your mother? Maybe
Don't ask him because his mother's probably younger than I am, and that really tears the soul out of me.
Actually.
Tony, if you could sugarcoat that a little bit, I mean, you came out, how old's your mother?
Yeah, I know, that would really tough.
How old's your mother?
Yeah. I got that cigar in my mouth. Hey, how old's your mother?
Okay, here's the early answers, and I know you'd be excited to know how old Bess Meyerson really is today. She's actually older than anybody said. She's 70.
Ooh.
Now, Kristen said 68, and so she is the closest,
Kristen,
off by only a couple of years. Jack Hart said 67, so he came in second, but... Mm. That doesn't count. Only first counts.
That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Kristen says 68. Okay. How about Orville Redenbach? A Redenbacher.
Yeah.
Orville Redenbacher. From pardon me? Yeah, he has his grandson on who looks just like him.
Are those two of the biggest geeks you've ever seen on TV?
They are dweebs from way back. Yeah, dorks. They really are. Yeah, they are really nerds. Anyway.
Wow, I hope they're not listening. They must feel terrible.
Oh, no, they're never going to advertise with us, Norm. We just blew it for the sales department.
I can afford to be nerd.
And Orville Redenbacher was born in Brazil, Indiana. He couldn't even be born in Brazil. Oh, so the nerd has to be born in Brazil, Indiana.
But I heard he was crazy about that town. Everybody thought he was a Brazil nut.
It doesn't say that here. No. Graduated from high school. Oh. I got the year.
Yeah?
I'll tell it all to you all. Graduated from high school in 1924, third in a class of 99.
And he's still kicking?
Third in a class of 99.
Yeah, he majored in agronomy and genetics at Purdue University, graduating in 1928. In 1987, his popcorn business... Hello there, I'm in the popcorn business. I love popcorn. I eat, sleep, and drink my popcorn. Thank you. His popcorn business passed the $1 billion sales mark. A lot of people like potato chips, you know, but not me. I've always loved popcorn. I don't know why. Popcorn always held a great attraction for me. I just look at the shape of them and the little fluffy things, and I say, thank you, God, for popcorn.
Who are you impersonating?
I was Orville Redenbacher.
Really?
Yeah, when he's not on the air, he sounds exactly like that.
You could have fooled me.
Yeah. Jack Hart, what do you think about Orville Redenbacher? The man who likes popcorn.
You know, when his kids call him Pop, they really mean it.
Yeah, that's just short for popcorn, you know.
And you see this intense advertising thing they've had the last couple of years with all these weird flavors they're trying to shove down our throats?
Garlic popcorn.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, you know,
it's really fatty and all that unhealthy for you, like the stuff in the movie theaters.
Oh, God, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, it has to be.
Otherwise, we wouldn't eat it, right?
No, my popcorn is very healthy. Look at me. I'm an old guy. I graduated high school. High school in 1924, and I'm still alive. How bad can the popcorn be?
Let me see. So far, you had a combination of Peter Sellers from the Pink Panther.
No, but Tony.
You.
Tony, every impersonation he does somehow leads back to Mason Adams.
And Mason Adams. So we have a French Mason Adams.
With a name like Redenbacher, it has to be good popcorn. Why? Okay, Jack Hart, I wonder if you could tell us how old Orville Redenbacher is, okay?
Oh, shucks, he's going to be, shucks.
He shucks the corn.
Yeah.
He shucks the corn. That's true.
Let me see. I heard he had an ear for music.
No. I heard he was being stalked.
It was just a load of corn, isn't it?
Oh.
Wasn't he a colonel?
Of course, you know who his favorite baseball player was.
Ty Cobb.
Right. My stomach aches from laughing.
I need some pup gun.
Really? Just jokes that are making me sick.
Yeah, the only thing that'll make you better would be some more popcorn. Okay, Jack, you know, we're very slow in this game.
I see.
We only have a very short time, and we haven't even hardly begun.
Uh-huh.
But what the heck? We're having fun with our popcorn.
What was that? What was that? That was almost a cheese. I almost had to run out back really quickly.
Okay, what do you think? How old is Orville Redenbacher, for heaven's sake?
87.
87 years old. And Emilio, what do you think?
I think Jack has the right idea with 87. Get that Orville right.
That joke really didn't take flight.
No, it didn't get off the ground. No. You're right, Tony. I'll say 87 also.
87 also. And Tony, what would you say?
87.
87. And Kristen?
I think I'll go with the guys and say 87.
87 also.
I have your letter, Kristen.
Do you?
And I will respond.
That would be nice.
Well, I thought you meant like a cue or something. I didn't know you were speaking about script, Tony.
Yeah, that sounded almost like a cryptic.
I had to get squeeze that in there before Norm jumped to the next person.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Eddie,
the bluebird flies when it is cold.
How short he is, the conductor. Orville, anyway, Betty, how old do you think Orville Redenbacher is?
Well, he looked like a nerd. I think he graduated from high school probably at age 16, so I'm going to say 86.
Wow.
86.
Oh, okay.
That's
tricky. Oh, yeah. Rick, what do you say?
Well, while I'm trying to get the battery into my calculator with one hand, can I ask you a question?
By all
means, what you're doing with the other, I don't want to know. I'm holding the phone.
He's popping corn.
Because if I, matter of speaking, if I don't ask, it's going to be on my mind all through the game.
Okay, do ask the question.
Have you ever seen comedian Gilbert Gottfried?
Yes, I have. The guy who shouts a lot.
Looks like a young Orville Redenbacher.
Well, because he does. Sounded like you, who you were describing earlier, but have you ever seen him do the routine about Julia Roberts?
No. How does that go?
Well, I wouldn't be very good at it, but he reminded me of who you were describing. He gets very bug-eyed, and he said if I knew that she wanted to marry a person who looked like a human being, I would have asked her, who didn't look like a human being, I would have asked her to marry me.
Now, her and Lyle on the Rocks, Norm, do you know?
No, she hasn't said anything about that, as a matter of fact. But then she
hasn't contacted you lately.
No, she has. She contacts me a lot. But she hasn't said anything about their marriage being on the rocks. And I think she doesn't want to hurt me because I want her to be happily married.
Well, isn't she trying to get you to go out with Michelle Pfeiffer?
Yes, she is. She's trying to fix me up with Michelle Pfeiffer, but I'm just not interested.
Norm's playing hard to get.
Yeah. Anyway, okay. Stop it.
I'll go with 88.
88, okay. And Arlene, what would you go with?
I'm going with 88 also.
Okay, I thought you'd come back with a smart ass line. What would you go with, Arlene? Anybody who wears pants. But I know that's not your style. Okay.
No, she'd prefer them without pants.
Orville Redenbacher actually is 87.
Yes.
Years old.
So we have Kristen, who now has two correct answers. Tony, Emilio, and Jack all have one apiece. And we go to Ginger Rogers, who every time anybody praised Fred Astaire for his great dancing, she pointed out, she said, yeah, but could he do it backwards wearing high heels like I did? And anyway, she was born in Virginia.
I thought he did do that. That was Truman Capote. I'm sorry.
No, that was actually J. Edgar Hoover you're thinking of. Born Virginia Catherine McMath in Independence, Missouri. Born in the same place that Harry Truman was born. I didn't know that. In 1940, she won an Oscar for Kitty Foyle. Kitty Foyle, which is a straight dramatic thing. She did a lot of movies that were not musicals. She's remembered, of course, for her success, though, as one of Fred Astaire's dancing partners.
Probably the best known of all his dancing partners. Next to J. Edgar Hoover, as I recall, was one of his dancing partners. But he hated the J. Edgar hated wearing chiffon. He loved more of the silky things. So anyway, Ginger Rogers, let's start with you, Betty. What do you think?
I know she's got to be older than me. So she must be about 76.
That's the spirit.
Oh, that was forceful tonight.
Yeah, nice. This is really nice.
A lot of energy.
It's a lot.
This sounds like it's choreographed almost. Tony, what do you think?
Ginger Rogers. No dates there, no movie dates, no.
No movie dates. Oh, yeah, in 1940, she won an Oscar for Kitty Foyle.
Okay. That's what you wrap cat food in, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Kitty Foyle is a cat food. It contains all the ingredients your cat will need to become, have big bones and and a small mouth.
Very crucial in the cat, I noticed.
And big it's not bones. Too bad on whole wheat, too.
Yeah, with milk or cream and some kind of fruit, it's the breakfast of champion.
1940.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
So we're talking, what's that? That's 54 years ago. Wow.
Very good. Kitty Foyle is the... No, that's the stuff that the cat does the things in.
That was before Kitty Litter.
That's right. See, he'd be called Kitty Foyle.
Just roll it out in a picture of a
cute cat. That's right. It was made out of that paper, but it was cut up in small pieces.
You had to keep on pulling them out of the box one at a time. Your arms are tired by the time you change things.
Probably... She was probably about that then, right? No, could she have been that young?
Are you still talking, Tony? I'm sorry, I forgot.
Yeah,
what
no,
you
it's
were
okay.
Talking.
Let me just talk. Let me alone.
Okay, I'll leave you alone.
The machinations of his mind. No.
79. Okay.
No, 79.
Okay. And Arlene, what do you say?
74.
74? Hmm? Okay, 74. And Kristen?
75.
Jack?
I'll say 74.
I'll say 74. And Emilio?
Norm, I noticed that there's two gentlemen outside the studio wearing dark suits and Foster Grant glasses. I believe they're with the FBI. They're a little bit upset about your comments about J. Edgar Hoover.
Are they wearing dresses?
No, but they've got a lovely pair of pumps on.
On duty, they have to wear those. I'm going to say 79 also.
But don't worry, because it feels like a sneaker, so hey.
Yeah, it's like that commercial where the girls are playing basketball, Tony.
But you should see them play basketball. Like the commercial.
Yeah.
Rick, how old do you think Ginger Rogers is today?
I'll say 78.
78, okay. Now...
Yes.
Ginger Rogers is actually 83 years old today. 83, so I think that means Tony.
Yes.
And Emilio both said 79. Ooh, and they are the closest. So we now have three two-time winners. Kristen, Tony, and Emilio all have the two apiece. Jack Hart has won. And Arlene, Rick, and Betty, we're rooting for you.
Yeah, well, if at first you don't succeed, try again.
Wait a minute. I like that. That's a good attitude. Yeah. That's an excellent attitude, Betty. Yeah.
You should put that in an almanac.
I'm going to crochet that in my doily. Okay, we're going to go now. You want to guess Ruben Blades or is it Blades?
Yeah.
Okay, Ruben Blades, the actor. I don't have much about him, just actor. It says actor Ruben Blades is, and it gives his age.
He's also a politician in his native Panama.
That's right, too. He ran for office and he won.
No, he lost.
That's right, he ran for office and he lost. I knew he either won or lost. I couldn't remember which one.
He had a 50-50 shot.
That's right.
He ran for president, too. It wasn't just some, rinky-dink position. So it's a ring-eating country.
Yeah. Kristen, how old do you think Ruben Blades is? Does he pronounce it Blades or Blades?
Blades.
Blades, okay.
Didn't the Beatles write a song about him? Blades?
It depends on whose company he's in, Norm. If he's entertaining a woman, he's Blades.
So, no, yo sono Ruben Blades.
Exactly.
Otherwise, he's, hello, I'm Ruben Blades.
Correct.
In a whole different way of talking.
Shop guy.
Oh, oh. Sharp guy, yeah. Now, what do you say, Kristen?
44,
says Kristen. And Rick, what do you think?
I don't even know who he is, so I'll say 43. What the heck?
Okay. I'll tell you the truth. If I weren't doing this and wasn't the host of this, the intellectual host, I would not know who he was either, except I've seen the name. Emilio, what do you think?
Does anybody have any ideas what he has been in out there? Anybody? Anyone?
He's been in a bunch of stuff. I just can't think what.
Yeah, I can't either. Yeah.
He made a very big impact on it.
Yeah.
He's in the Super with.
He is.
What's his name?
Joe Fish. And what role did he play in the Super?
He was one of the tenants in one of the slummy buildings that he owned. What's his name?
Reuben Blades?
No,
Joe Pesci.
The other guy.
Joe Pesci?
Yeah, Joe Pesci.
Joe Fish.
He's one of the tenants in one of his buildings.
Okay, so that puts me in the 54 range.
54, is that what you say?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
At a certain age, you know, to play a tenant in a movie.
How old are you? You 54? I can't play a tenant.
They have very strict union rules out there in Hollywood, Tony. And I'm aware of these.
I know.
Jack, what do you think?
42,
says Jack. All right. Betty.
Well, I might as well stick to my sixes. 46.
46. Okay. And Arlene?
I'm not sure who he is, but I'll say 45.
45. And Tony?
I hope he doesn't take this as a cut, but...
Ooh, 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 ooh.
48.
48 says Tony's whispering that, which means that he's not too sure of his answers. He doesn't have a confidence in it.
Well, no, you should know by now that you always give Tony like a 30-second cushion because he'll go, no, 49, no, 47, no, 48. I have to stick with it. I got to stick with it.
You'll remember that when you're in San Diego, won't you? It'll be one of your great memories.
Like when I'm sitting on the beach in a searing 90-degree sun with an umbrella fruity drink. That'll be right in the very forefront of my mind.
And it'll be February here.
Yes.
Okay, actually, Reuben Blades is 45. Arlene, who said she didn't never heard of him, said 45.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. Oh. You're okay. We're going to skip along now, if you'll pardon the expression.
To Monday. Hey, get stolen out of the studio.
Is that hand in hand? Or?
Yeah, no. Monday, July 18th, next Monday. That's about all the... When I got to Reuben Blades, we were hitting some of the unknown people.
Yeah, just name them off real quick.
Okay, I'll name them off. Desmond Decker.
I'm glad you skipped that one.
The pioneer for gay music. His only hit was Israelites in 1969.
No, what type of music was that, Norm?
Reggae.
Reggae?
Oh, reggae. Reggae. Reggae?
That's a great
I'm
song.
Giving it the original Spanish pronunciation. I imagine you lay folks probably anglicize it into some silly kind of pronunciation. Yeah. It's also the birthday of Rain Pryor,
who is Richard Pryor's
daughter. She's in 24. She's 25, but that's very good.
How old was Desmond Decker? That's a great song.
Desmond Decker is 52.
Huh.
And Barnard Hughes, who's a fine actor.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, 79 years old today.
He was Father Majeski in All in the Family.
He was also in The Guiding Light, the soap opera, The Lou Grant Show, Prelude to a Kiss. Also, I saw him on stage. He's been in some of the theater productions, a number of them.
The Beatles wrote about him in Eleanor Rigby. Father Majeski, darning his son.
I see. Also, race driver Jim Rathman.
Uh-huh.
Football's Barry Sanders.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could have done him.
We could have done him. Former Attorney General Dick Thornburg. Tennis star Margaret Court. Rock drummer.
Wait a second. Her name's Margaret Court.
Yes.
We could have a field day with
she's
that.
She's a tennis star? Wow.
We could have a field day with that, but we chose to skip over it.
Yeah, also, rock drummer and composer, you probably would have known this one, Stuart Copeland.
From the Police.
From the Police, yeah.
41.
42. Very good.
Geez, man.
Violinist Pinchas Zuckerman.
86.
46.
Wow.
You always think that concert violinists are very old.
They've
got to
be.
He's not.
Really with a name like Pinchas.
Yeah. And Barbara Stanwyck, Mary Baker Eddy, and Theodore Vail all are dead. Thank you. I'm sorry to break the news to you. I kind of hope you read the papers first.
We are a news station, though, Norm. We like to bring that information.
That is correct. Monday, July 18th. Okay, we'll go to some birthdays there. Red Skelton was born on July 18th. Hmm. His name, Richard Bernard Skelton. He's from Indiana also.
That's really his name?
Richard Bernard Skelton. Skelton is really his name, yes. He had a record on the charts in 1969, the Pledge of Allegiance, which he performed on the Red Skelton Hour on January 14th, 1969. He received such a tremendous response that Columbia Records released it as a single. He's also an artist who specializes in painting clowns. He's been in a number of movies. He was on radio before.
Nobody ever asked how the clowns feel about that, you know.
Nobody did. No, that's true. Nobody also on radio. He was on radio before television and played a number of characters, and has been around for a lot of years. So there's the clue. Been around for a lot of years.
I remember watching his show, The Red Skelton Hour.
And then on television, yeah. He used to sign off kind of waving his arms and saying,
good night and may God bless.
And God bless. God bless. He seemed a little retarded at that moment, but God bless. God bless.
Could you describe him physically for me, Norm? Because for some reason, as soon as you say the name Red, I got red buttons in my brain. So
yeah, no. Well, he's about the same.
Like red buttons.
Yeah, he's about the same height. He's average build, average looks. Does that describe him?
And he was around a long time ago.
And he was around.
Get the sketch artist in, Emilio.
The red hair.
Yeah, kind of a silly face and, yeah, kind of wavy red hair.
So I couldn't imagine why they would call him Red then, Betty. Could you?
Well, he was a communist.
I thought it was short for Redwood, like in Midnight Run.
No, he liked it. He liked books. That was where the red came from.
I see. It used to be red.
He used to like books.
Did you like?
It's past tense, red.
Red, that's right. Well, yeah, he said, well, no, it'd be, in a sense.
Nice try, yeah.
They'd sure, say, whatever, did you like Dick Jane and The Spot? Mm-hmm. And he said, I read it, God bless. So and that's how the red came
about. Actually first name, the nickname, his first name was Well.
Well read, that's right, actually. Oh, Jesus, this would be awful.
And it's, of course, his
I wonder if CBS
misread. Yeah.
When we become affiliated with CBS on Channel 4, will they go along with this program, too, do you suppose? Or will they say, we can't have our network tainted by what you got on radio?
Why do you think they bought the damn station, though?
Absolutely. You think it was because of the dumb birthday game?
No, now they're going to claim rights to the dumb birthday game and give it a letterman.
Intellectual rights, yeah.
That's right. That's right. Letterman will be doing it.
That's right.
Oh, I could spit. I'm so angry.
They might give us a few lefts, too, Tony.
Okay, Arlene, we're going to start with you, Red Skelton.
Okay, I'll say 70.
Okay, what do you say, Rick?
Well, I'll say 82, and I think an interesting anecdote is that I think Johnny Carson's first network appearance was when he filled in for Red Skelton. He was a writer on the show, and Red got sick.
Mm-hmm.
Who's wailing in the background?
Can you hear that?
Yeah.
My cat.
Ah, a little warmer out there, huh?
I guess your cat didn't like my inner anecdote about Johnny Carson, but I'll go with 82.
Okay, Betty, what do you say?
I'm going to say 86.
86. And wow, Kristen? 80. And Tony?
Is he 80 yet? I don't know. No one wants to answer me, huh?
No, I'm not going to answer that. No. God bless. I just say God bless.
Let me see. So TV.
TV, and then before that, radio.
Was he on TV first? No, he was on like in the 50s.
No, he was on radio before there was TV.
Yeah, oh, boy. Okay, so maybe
and before radio came about, he was on the stage for a little while.
Yeah, no,
well, so were you, Norm, when you come down.
No, both of us used to just wander up and down dark alleys and yell out our bits.
Okay, let's go. If you're that old.
Wow.
And he.
Sure, we're not keeping you up that long?
He's 70.
Nine.
No, give him a few seconds, though. Give him a few seconds.
Okay, then we'll wait to see if he changes it.
Mm-hmm.
79.
Yes.
Emilio.
No, I'm only kidding.
Well, if he's as old as everybody says he is, he must be Red Skeleton, as Rick calls him.
It's actually, Skeleton.
Well, Rick pronounced it Red Skeleton.
Well, you know, that's the way, that's an accent. It's a Pennsylvania accent. State College, they talk that way.
What was Tony's wrong answer?
Tony said 79.
79. Yeah. Nine.
Okay, so everyone seems to think he's on the upper scale list, so I'm going to say 83.
83.
That's pretty good.
Okay, and Jack?
I was just going to do that. I was just going to do that.
Is that right?
I should have. God. I'm slapping myself silly now.
Okay.
He's got to be...
Oh, I wish I had boned up on this before I started. He's got to be 84.
84. Okay, actually, Red Skelton's 81.
Oh.
So you are all pretty close, except for you, Arlene. Oh, you
pew,
Arlene. Anyway, 81. So that, let's see, nobody said 81, but Kristen said 80.
Oh, 79. I said, see,
you were close. And Rick, okay, and sorry, Rick okay. said 82. So Kristen now leads with 3.
Oh.
Oh, my. So let's go to Harriet Nelson, the mother of Rick and David Nelson, and of course the husband of Ozzy.
Oh, the wife.
I'm sometimes confused. Known as the wife. Yeah.
The wife. All right, the wife of Ozzy.
Yeah, she's the wife of Ozzy Nelson. She sang as with the band, the Ozzy Nelson band, which incidentally was really a pretty awful band, as Harriet Hilliard. Although she was beautiful, I always thought she was a great looking lady. Ozzy died in 1975 because Rick died in a plane crash in 1985. She's had a tough life. That's really tough. Her twin grandsons are, of course, now making it big. The Nelson brothers, you know, with the
blonde hair. They came out with one record 3 or 4 years ago, and they have not come out with another one.
Okay, what's their names? Like Thor and
this
Matthew, is it Matthew or Matthias or something?
Matthew and Gunnar.
Gunnar, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. It says here her twin grandchildren, her grandsons are now making it big. So I just read that the way it said it.
Yet you'll see them. They'll be like, and featuring on the Rock Awards, Nelson. It's like, they haven't come up with things in 4 years. What are they on there for?
I never, tell you the truth, I never liked Ozzy Nelson's band. I never liked Rick and his singing. Mm-hmm. I thought was nothing. And David Nelson, of course, never did perform like that. And then I thought the two grandsons were nothing at all either. The only one who I don't think Harriet Nelson ever sang particularly well either is Harriet Hilliard. But she kind of looked nice, you know. She seemed like an intelligent woman. All the others looked like their brains had been terminally removed or surgically removed. I think I'm getting bitter now.
Wow.
Anyway, Harriet Nelson, let's start with...
nobody asked, just your opinion.
That's right, nobody asked.
I'm going to call you Chet Lemon from now on, Norm. You're so bitter.
Jack Hart, how old is Harriet Nelson on this very day?
Harriet Nelson. Harriet
not on this very day, but July 18th.
July 18th.
Yes.
July 18th, how old will Harriet Nelson be?
You did say,
Yes, I did. let's see, she's going to be, that show was on back 30, 40 years ago. So she's going to be somewhere up there in the 70s. One would think.
You were aware it's 58 and a half.
Oh, I'm sorry.
News in about a minute and a half.
74.
74. Okay, Emilio?
75.
See, Tony's right. I mean, Emilio's right there with the knowing the time. Tony?
76.
That's the spirit.
Thank you.
Kristen?
76.
76. Betty?
76.
That's the spirit.
That's the spirit.
Rick? What do you say, Rick?
78.
No bones.
Oh, I'm sorry.
And Arlene?
80.
80. Okay. Arlene has got it right out of the butt, too.
Ooh, wow, 80.
Wow.
80, yeah. Okay, so the winner is Kristen.
Oh.
Had three correct answers. Tony, Emilio, both had two apiece. Arlene had two. Rick and Jack had one apiece. Betty, you're the only one who didn't get
anything. That's right. I'll have to try again.
Yeah, that's a good attitude to have. I thank all of you for playing the game with us. Hang in there, Kristen, and we'll get the so we can get some really worthless.
Keep in touch with us, Emilio.
Okay, yeah, he's just gone back in he's taking Kristen's address right now. Okay, Arlene and Rick, thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night, Rick. He sounded kind of downcast. And Betty?
Yeah?
Appreciate you playing the game with us.
Okay.
Okay to you. Tony.
May I do the station break?
Yes, you may. Let me just say, Jack, thanks.
Oh,
do a quick one.
WBZ Boston.
Wow.
On ABC News, I'm Debbie Hamlin.
If we didn't skip all those birthdays, we could have made this one a marathon of a game. So many possibilities for continued foolishness with those names. Another dumb birthday game is on tap for next week as we climb closer to episode 100. For which I have no idea what I want to do. Well, maybe I do. I will not say anything else. Now the pressure's on. Before any details leak out, let's close the vault and continue to leave this world a little sillier than we found it. For YouTube cover images and backdrops. Arlene's possible long-distance love, Bob, in New Brighton, Pennsylvania. Driving across the country solo. Hampton Beach, New Hampshire. The Electric Wave. Laurie and Amy, sadly sewn yarns of foolhardy affection, old Shep, John Wall, stuffy noses, Tijuana, stubby cigars, bats of all kinds, Orville Redenbacher, the gears of my mind, Norm's Hungarian gypsy princess grandmother, quill and quilted pens, crochet doilies, chiffon, silk, and dark sunglasses, Daryl Gould, Emilio Morata, Jack Hart, and the rich little of Boston radio, Norm Nathan. I'm the happily married Tony Nesbitt.